Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
National Day of Thanksgiving, gazetted 12 years ago by Governor Michael Jeffries. Some gentlemen who are what I would call no-names in Australia as far as denominations go or heads of churches go, who just had a passion for prayer, and one of them now leads and heads up a volunteer organisation called the Australian Prayer Network, and he would have somewhere between 5 and 10,000 people on his list that pray every day for prayer points around Australia. Anyhow, Brian Pickering is his name, and he had a desire to see us as a church have a day where we would acknowledge God and thank God and thank others in our community. And so he started petitioning the government. One man started petitioning the government. John Howard was the Prime Minister at the time. And finally, the petition got as high as John Howard. John Howard loved the thought of it, but said that he couldn't do it. It had to go through Michael Jeffries, the Governor General at the time. And as they talked in government, and as Michael Jeffries talked about it, they determined that you couldn't make it God in the sense of God that we know, but you could say thanking God and thanking others as the catch cry. And so Chris and I had the joy of going into Canberra 12 years ago, Government House, and being there as they gazetted this day, this weekend, as the National Day of Thanksgiving. And right around Australia now, it's slowly gathering steam, and more communities are doing something to thank God, to thank each other. They hold celebrations, they hold little events where they gather people together. And for us, we are blessed that our mayor or our shire has taken it on, and they've gazetted it as a national day this weekend in their calendar, so it continues on and on and on. And they've given the churches the job, or allowed the churches to have the job of organising it, hence yesterday. And so I don't want this morning to go by without us considering the things that we have to be thankful for. Let me read some scriptures to you, because these are incredibly important in the eyes of God. In Psalm 116, it says, "What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out to me?" You know, when somebody comes up and says, "Thank you, Graham," you know, that's a major thing. You feel so good. You feel acknowledged. You feel as though you've been watched. You feel as though somebody's seen what you've done. And so when God says that, I don't think God wants anything more than our praises, than us to acknowledge him, as we did this morning, as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In Psalm 100 it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations." There is so much in that just little verse there. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates, his courts, with thanksgiving and praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Then Psalm 92 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." In Ephesians 5, it says, "Giving thanks always for all things." You know, I can stop right now and say, hey, what do you do every day? How do you start your day? In 1 Thessalonians, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then in 1 Chronicles, it says this, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people." And I suppose it's that I want us to focus on this morning, making known his deeds among the people. What is your default? Now, when I say your default, what is it that you normally do? What is the thing that you find yourself doing all the time? You know, I have a default for breakfast in the morning. I have a default for the time I get up. I have a default for the way I drive to work, or not the way, the route that I drive to work. I try and drive neatly and tidily and within the law sometimes. So what is your default? Do you find yourself getting up in the morning and all of a sudden having a whinge? Finding something wrong with you? Wanting to complain about something? What is your default when the person at the supermarket or at the petrol station says to you, "How's your day been?" Do you find yourself finding something to be critical about, something to be negative about, or do you blow them away with a bit of praise? "Oh, I'm having a great day." Really? Because that's not what most people do. What is your default? Is it positive or is it negative? In Luke 17, we have the story of the 10 lepers who came and Jesus prayed for them. And the Bible says that they were healed, they were cleansed. And off they went. The Bible tells us that only two came back. And Jesus, the Bible says, made them whole. Now, there's a great message in there, the difference between being cleansed and healed and made whole. But the thing for this morning is that you would have thought, with those guys having leprosy and being outcasts in society, never be able to enjoy the life that they used to enjoy, never being able to touch their loved ones, live with their loved ones, see their kids, etc., etc. If they were healed, cleansed, you would think they would say thank you, wouldn't you? Yet only two came back, found Jesus and gave him thanks. I wonder whether that percentage would be the percentage in our community or whether it be the percentage in our church today. This morning, we're baptizing five people. This morning, those five people are really doing something that is incredible. They are indicating in an outward act what God has done in their heart. They will have a memorial stone. They will have a testimony. They will have something to be thankful for today. Something that I think and hope they will remember for the rest of their lives. Before we baptize those five, why don't we take just a few minutes to reflect on what we have to be thankful for? Let me paint a picture to you. Paint a picture that I hope will prime the pump. When I say prime the pump, start to get your minds working on what you do have to be thankful for, things that you can find to be thankful for. Let me draw a picture with words. The children of Israel have just spent 40 years in the wilderness. They've been living as nomads, packing up their tents, following the cloud, following the tabernacle, going around the same mountain, as it were, for 40 years. They lived eating manna. They had quail at night. They had water coming out of the rock. They had a fire by night to keep them warm. They had a cloud over them by day to cool them. Their clothes never wore out. God provided for them. There's no doubt about that. Even though they had disobeyed him, even though they disappointed him, even though they'd had unbelief and that was the outworking, the consequence of their unbelief, God still provided for them. But apart from those miracles, God did many others, the Bible tells us. And then after the 40 years has passed, they come to that incredible point where they're now ready to cross over into the promised land. And if you read in Joshua about that, you find that there's a lot of changes about to take place. One of the ones that stands out is that you've never been this way before. And that's the truth of our lives when we become Christians, when we move into that realm of receiving the inheritance that Jesus died for. We've never been that way before. It's all brand new. We can't say, "Well, I used to do it this way," because you never did it that way before. It's a brand new thing. But then in the promised land, there was no more manna. They were to start to eat of the fat of the land as it was. There would be no more fire, no more cloud. They were told that it was a land that they had to possess, line upon line, or every place that they put their sole of their feet, that they were to drive out giants. There's a whole raft of instructions that God gives his people as they move into this brand new way of living in their promised land, in their inheritance. And so In this raft of instructions, God gives Joshua a couple. And he says he's got to walk behind the ark at a certain distance. Ark representing the presence of God. But then he was told that you must pick 12 men out of each tribe, one out of each tribe. And as you walk down into the river, well, the rivers roll back, but onto the seabed or the riverbed, you are to pick up 12 stones out of the riverbed. And you are to carry those 12 stones into the promised land. And when you get over the other side, you'll build a memorial. A memorial called Gilgal out of these 12 stones. Gilgal was the place where Joshua would come to inquire of God before each battle. It was a place where when things didn't go the way it should have gone at Ai, he came back and he rent his clothes and he lay on the ground, as it were, and asked God what went wrong. But there was also an instruction that Joshua was given in regarding the building of Gilgal, and that was it was to be used as a memorial to remind the generations to come of all the things that God had done during their time in the wilderness. Quite an important memorial, really, because when you think of it, the Jordan River had rolled back all the way to Adam. It was dry. Dry so this million plus people could walk across. We know that that river finally rolled back again. And so the path that they walked across was not there to be seen anymore. The places where they'd lived would grow up and change. It would probably be overrun by animals and other people. And so it would be only a generation or two down the track that when they talked about the wilderness, they wouldn't really understand what had happened. And so Gilgal was a memorial, a place to remember what God had done. And I think there is an amazing outworking of that for us today. The other aspect of Gilgal, and it's something that we need to also remember, is that they were going into the promised land to fight giants. They were going to have to drive out the enemy, as it were, so that they could possess the promises that God had given them. And as we see with the Battle of Ai, there were going to be times when it didn't go as according to plan. And so Gilgal, as a memorial, was a great thing also to remind them of just the great things that God had done, and that God would not have placed them into the promised land if he hadn't intended for them to possess it and to enjoy it. And that's the type of our own lives. God would never have given us the Christian way of life and his word if he was going to make mockery of it. It's written that we can do it, that we can enjoy it. And the memorials that we have, the memorial stones, I call them, that we have, are there not only to remind us of what God has done, but to remind us that God is with us when we're going through some tough times. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Joshua knew that God had begun a good work in them, and their promised land, their inheritance was there to be taken. We have God in our lives, and he has begun a good work in us. And we are all works in progress at different stages of life. Some mature, some immature. Some babes in Christ, some oldies in Christ. Some hearing messages for the first time, some having heard them so many times that you'll be sitting here right now saying, Graham, I've remembered you talking about that before. Whatever the case is, we are on a journey. So the question I have for you today, the thing that I want to ask you today is, what are your memorial stones? What are the things that you can remember God having done that you should be talking about, that you should be giving thanks for, that you should be acknowledging as that's when God intervened in my life? During this week, I've been in many, many, many meetings, and I've started off every meeting with a mini devotional talking about exactly what I've talked about this morning. Reason one is because I wanted to get people to start to think about National Day of Thanksgiving. But also I wanted to prime us into being people of thanks. When we had our school council meeting during the week with the school council members, I said, look, give me a memorial stone of something that God has done in your life. Each person talked about how God had provided for them a house. It was amazing just to listen to them share their house buying journey and how many times it was, this is the house I want to buy, and they didn't have a piece and that one's too expensive, but all of a sudden God opened provision for them to get a house. They bought a house but their other one hadn't sold and didn't sell, and how are they going to have faith? And just all of the stories that are there. So there could be memorial stones of provision. Another one I had was where someone shared of a testimony of just an amazing healing that they'd had in their life. And every time they think about difficulties or whatever, they remember that healing and how God had gone before them. Chris Blacker, come and share a memorial stone. And Dale, where are you? Are you there? Is he there? Not there. Dale, don't come and share your memorial stone. Somebody, just start to think of a memorial stone right now.
Mine relates to, I guess, it's a spiritual journey. And been in the church for a long time, and I probably used to have a mindset that part of you need to work to earn your salvation, and it was all about behaviour, and it was all about, you know, how good you are. And so there was this whole predicament in my life that, you know, when I, you know, if I'd made a mistake, I wasn't good with God. And there was this in and out thing with, you know, am I okay with God? And it was part around the time that we went on our trip around Australia, but I came to understand the scripture that says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the his righteousness part means that my being okay with God is reliant on what Jesus has done, not on what I can do. And that changed my life forever. And the freedom that I found from that day onwards is incredible. And because of that, I thank God for that, but I also want to see that freedom for others.
Can you remember which part of Australia you're at when that became revealed to you? You've got to go about it. Think about it. Bob, is it going to be short? Come down here then. Chris, have you got a memorial stone? Come and give me one while Bob's coming. Quick. Be a lady. You can't just jump up on the stage.
I can think of so many, but just very quickly, probably a few traumatic experiences we've experienced. Quickly, one of them, probably the fires when I lost my two nieces. Incredible, sad time, but I just can't believe the peace that God brought into my life to be able to cope with that. And even now when we see things happening and it reminds me of that time, immediately I get the trust that I had back then that God's in charge, he's sovereign, he's caring for them, and that I have that incredible peace just come upon me all the time.
Thank you, Bob. Matt Daly, you got one? Come up.
I'd like to tell you what God did for me in the start of my salvation. I knew nothing about this. My parents weren't Christians. We were sent to Sunday school, as everyone was when I was a kid. But in fourth grade, we had a Christian education teacher, and we had a little project, and we didn't finish it. And she said, if anyone hasn't finished it and would like to come to my place and finish it on Saturday, I'd love to see you. I was the only one that turned up. And God revealed to me many, many years later that she prayed for me that day. And that's the day that God got his hook in my mouth. And from that day on, my life has been totally, every area of my life, I see God's hand in. But that was the day God got hold of me when I was in fourth grade.
Great job. Claudio, can you...
Again, like Chris, it's like, which one do you pick? So many miracles in Narelle and I in our lives. From Narelle smashing her elbow and being told she'll never have more than 80% movement in her elbow after she smashed it in a netball game. And then the doctors saying, it's broken to, oh, sorry, it's not broken. It's actually smashed to pieces. 80% movement is all you'll ever get. And then going in to operate and going, we don't know what's happened, but gee, it's a lot better than what the x-rays actually showed. And we'd been praying so hard, and she now has 100% movement in that elbow from being not able to hold her six-month-old baby for months because of that, to now having 100% movement is just unbelievable. Just as you shared, you know, both of the all three homes that we've been in have totally and utterly been God moments in our lives, and how that's been provided. To my own health, I have a blood condition which is a risk every single day of a brain hemorrhage, and yet I go to the doctors and they just say, look, you're doing fine, you're doing well. And that's just outworking God in my life, and just knowing that he's protecting us and saving us every single day.
I've got quite a few.
Just one?
I've got a recent one that involves my youngest boy, Lucas, and I went and saw Graham and just shared with him a few issues that we've been having. And he gave me about three different things to do, and I thought, I'm going to do every single one of them exactly as he said. And one of them was pray over him at night when he's asleep. So we prayed over him at night when he was asleep. Graham, you said to rejoice and thank God for him, and just as he is, not as I hope him to be. And so I did that. And just thing after thing we followed, and God just came through amazingly. I've had four emails from teachers, from a coach. We've noticed just this incredible change in him. And I don't know what it was. I feel God just saying, you don't need to know, you don't need to understand, but I've done something in him. And there's just something that's broken off him. And it's just incredible that when we hand over the ones we love, how God just comes through over and above. You know, one of the teachers actually said, sent me one email, and she said, he's just going so well, I don't know what's going on. And then the next email was, he's going from strength to strength, can you buy him something to say just well done? So seeing him joyful and free is just amazing.
Fantastic, thank you. Now, I didn't prime anybody to do that, but I hope that every one of you now is starting to see memorial stones that you can give thanks for. And right now, before we move on into the baptism, I'd like to pray, and I'd like you, in your own way, just thank God for what he's done. Can we pray? Father, we just thank you that your word tells us to give thanks to you in all things. And that, Father, there's nothing that all things doesn't encompass, whether it be good or whether it be bad in our eyes, that, Father, your word says all things will work together for good, to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And so I pray this morning that, Father, it wouldn't just be on the National Day of Thanksgiving that we give you thanks, but that our default would become one of thanksgiving, one of not only testifying of the memorial stones we have of you, but, Lord God, just being people of thankfulness, people who are positive, people who reflect a positive nature in this dark world that we live. Father, we just want to again give you thanks for the great things that you've done. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.